What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 46. I am the Grapevine for March 6, 2013. This week, our special guest is none other than the legendary Bob Marley. I am, of course, your host, Jeremy Jackson. With me today is
Daisy,
Claudia,
Susie,
Bob Marley,
Kaylin,
Priscilla,
Leslie.
And then Karen is over around the corner. Lori is taking pictures. So Bob has quite a list. I don't think I got the list of all the awards that he has, but maybe he can talk about some of them. Bob Marley is an athletic trainer here in the greater Houston area. He works for UT Health Science Center, Ironman Sports Medicine Institute at Memorial Hermann, Houston Baptist University, Needville High School, and Houston Texans Football Club. He's been in the profession for about 32 years, and then we're going to talk some more about some of the many, many awards that he's got, and I'm going to check my email here in a second here and see if I got it. But first, let's talk about the Houston Football Club. What is Houston Football Club?
Houston Texans Football Club. It's the Houston Texans that we all know and love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For that? Okay. And several years ago, when Jeff Kaplan came in as a head athletic trainer, he asked me if I would be interested in helping him out. And it's kind of progressed to where I'm now game day and PRN athletic trainer, where I get to work some of the sports or the mini camps and training camps, help with practices during the week when I can. Got to travel some this year, cover all the home football games. It's fun.
All right, so you're kind of...
I'm a part-time athletic trainer.
You're a part-time athletic trainer for the Houston Texans.
Right.
That's, okay.
That's the easiest way.
Because I know they have, like, youth football camps
right.
for the Houston Texans. I didn't know if that's what the Houston Texan Football Club was dealing with.
No, that's more the official name for the Houston Texans.
I gotcha.
And so they do have the camps during the summer, and that's a great opportunity. And one of our, Derek Cook, covers that for them during the summers.
Right. Yeah, I usually work with Derek at other different tournaments and stuff like that. So, all right, so again, Bob Marley is a board member for the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society. And I've known Bob for a long time, but I've just begun working with him on the GHATS board. And he's kind of my contact for the CEU opportunities that GHATS offers through listening and participating in the sports medicine broadcast. So again, Bob, thank you for kind of making sure that was open for us, the CEU opportunity through GHATS.
Oh, it's easy. You do a great job with GHATS, and y'all may find this interesting. I've known Jeremy since he was a college student, so it's been a long time. Yeah, he's an old person.
Yep. Yeah, I've got a story I'm going to tell a little bit later about back in college, but traditionally we start with our accountability check here. So we're going to see, Crystal, get close to the mic and see if it's working. No?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, it's the one that's... Yeah.
Can you talk?
Talk.
No.
Okay, so just tell me what you ate for breakfast. Sausage biscuit? All right, school sausage biscuit. Daisy?
Sausage biscuit with apple juice.
Claudia?
Yogurt and Cheerios.
Susie?
The school breakfast. I can't say.
School breakfast?
Yes.
Kaylin?
Nothing.
No. Kaylin, it's okay.
School breakfast.
I did the same.
School breakfast. Bob, what'd you eat for breakfast this morning?
I had a Burger King Chris sandwich.
Burger King Chris sandwich. Very nice. Mm-hmm. I had a Jimmy Dean Chris sandwich. So instead of going to Burger King, I just have them at home. So a little bit more economical for all of us low-income earners. Lore? Cheez-Its? Better than nothing. We're improving. There was nothing last week, I think. So, all right. So we're much better. The first time we did this, I think it was 75% said nothing. And then the ones that did have something, it was pretty bad, like hot Cheetos or something. And so we've been slowly improving. Either that or they're lying to me, but either way.
Except for one over here.
Yep, Kaylin. But you normally eat breakfast, though, right?
Yeah, it's because my medicine's making me sick.
Gotcha. So, all right. So, Bob, let's get to the questions here.
Can you give us some background on like your hometown and your college?
I'm originally from Nebraska, a little town just south of Lincoln, and wanted to go to the University of Nebraska my whole life, and didn't get to go because they had a coaching change. I was recruited to play basketball. And the coach changed. And so that's when I thought, well, athletic training. So I went to where my mother had gone to school and got hooked up with Sandy Miller. You all heard of Sandy Miller at Stephen F. Austin State? University? Okay. He's one of my mentors. But he let me start working as an athletic trainer at Northwest Missouri State University. Got me hooked on it. I loved it. And for the same reasons y'all are enjoying it. And then went on to graduate school at Michigan State University. And a lot of the things I learned at Michigan State University were how not to be an athletic trainer. Because the guy that I had as a head athletic trainer didn't know how to work with people. So I tried to take what I learned from Sandy Miller and what I learned from Clint Thompson and mash them together. And then I came down here and was the head athletic trainer at Houston Baptist University for 7 years. And towards the end of that's when I met Mr. Jackson over here. And that was back in 1988, 89?
No, I graduated college, high school in 99, so.
Okay. So, oh, really?
So okay. It had to be around.
I thought you were older than that.
No.
Okay. And then HBU de-emphasized athletics, and I went to work in a sports medicine clinic and did that for a few years. And then I started working with Dr. Walter Lowe, and I've been kind of following him around different places since then.
All right.
Did you catch all that?
Yes.
That's a whole long list.
It started from Nebraska and ended here.
Yes.
My grandma used to live in Nebraska.
It's nice. We used to come down here every summer, and that's when I fell in love with the Houston area.
All right, so Monica is absent. Keelan.
Yes, that's me, right?
That's you.
Tell us your story, athletic training-wise.
Yeah, there's how to, sorry, how did you get into athletic training?
I was a basketball, a quote-unquote basketball player, hurt my knee, had my first knee surgery, and that's when I found out what athletic trainers were. Because when I grew up, we didn't have athletic trainers in high schools. And so we ended up, coaches took care of it. Well, you all know what that would be like. And so when I found an athletic trainer, Sandy Miller and those guys, just fell in love with it. And then I just kept wanting to learn more and more and more, went to graduate school. And it's one of those things where you never stop learning as an athletic trainer. No matter where I go, what situation I'm in, if I'm at HBU and I'm watching them work with athletes, I'm with the Texans, I watch them work with people. I work with other athletic trainers like Bubba Wilson, who just walked in, or Jeremy or something at an event. You're constantly learning from other athletic trainers. And so I feel like I'm still learning.
Yes, Bob was quite amazed with all of our QR codes and whatnot we have out on the wall. So we do lots of good work with Sports Medicine One. He said he can't even spell QR, so.
Yeah, and then you guys are making your own little patches or blocks or codes or whatever.
Hey, Claudia, will you turn Bob up a little bit? He should be the one that says guest about number 3.
I think you should turn mine down some, since we're talking about it.
Do you get it? Okay. All right. His is the one that says guest. You got it? Yes?
Sure.
All right. That's fine.
Okay. Can you tell us... Can you tell us which setting has been your favorite and why?
So you work in all these different places.
Yeah. I think probably my most favorite time in life as an athletic trainer and my first personal life and everything, my favorite time was at HBU, at Houston Baptist University. It was, I was working with a bunch of great coaches, had some excellent student trainers. The students that we had were fun. I think that was probably my most favorite time in life. Things, just my professional life, just the athletic training part of it, I think my favorite aspect or level is the high school athletic trainers. Because you're working with high school athletes who, for the most part, want to get well. They'll do what you ask them to do. They still are involved in other things outside of athletics, so it's not as important to them. I shouldn't say not as important, but it's not as crucial that they survive as much. So it's a little different. Okay. And very good looking, right?
It goes without saying, that's why I didn't forget how to say it. Sorry about the interruption.
So I think that's, my favorite time in my life was was at HBU. Favorite place, favorite setting to work is with high school.
Why?
Just because of the, I think that the rewards are different. You build different relationships there. It's not a, it's at the college level, it's still kind of a business where everything is predicated on a different level than in high school. High school, it's just trying to win a game, trying to do as well as you can, trying to be successful. Where at high school, or I mean college and professional, it's all about winning, of course. I mean, winning is first and foremost, and sometimes the individual gets lost in that, the one-loss record. Where with high school, it you're still trying to teach as well as win. I mean, you can lose the game, but yet win a bunch of other parts of life, and that's why I like the high school part.
I agree. I did a internship with the Houston Texans, and the reason I got the internship was because Bob Marley handed my resume to Kevin Bastine, and that's probably the only reason, because at HBU they didn't have football, and so one of the things there that I felt was working with the pros, you're kind of not a babysitter, but you have to do everything for them, and you're just almost somebody that's on a lower level than them. But with high school athletes, most of the time you can, like you said, affect their lives positively. Like, I've had athletes that have become or are seeking to become student athletic trainers at college, and because they've had a positive experience with me, or people that I've encouraged to do something or stay out of trouble or those kind of things, because at this point in life I can really positively or negatively affect somebody's life. So
yeah, the high school kids, once they go off on their own, they'll come back. They come back like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and they'll come by to see the athletic trainer. You guys will do the same. Well, if you ever come back home, when you come back to visit your family or whatever, you'll come to the event and see Jackson if he's still here, and go up and talk to him, and it'll be like you never left. Colleges as a whole, you develop some relationships like that, but nothing like you do at the high school level. It's a different bond.
I agree. I definitely enjoy working at the high school level.
Best part about working at each level?
That's a good question. There's good parts for all of it. I think the best part for any job, for any athletic training job, is watching athletes get better. I didn't touch it, I swear.
The other ones tend to slip all the time, so I switch.
Okay.
This one, I'm supposed to
slip. Put it up there and it'll slowly come down.
All right. Hopefully.
The high school part is the fans, the parents, the band, just the enthusiasm that everybody has for it. College, the great part about college is the kids are, no offense to y'all, but the kids are usually a little older, and so you can be a little more friendly with them. You can do things with them that you wouldn't do with high school. You're not going to go hang out with a bunch of high school students, okay, just because it's inappropriate. But at the college level, they're a little older, and you can have a different relationship with them. And then the pros, obviously, it's fun to be on a sideline on a Sunday afternoon when you got 78,000 people all screaming and yelling, and you walk into a stadium, and you can go anywhere in that stadium you want. And there's people just begging to have that opportunity. It's pretty unique. So I think that, and then probably the best part about working in a clinic or with a physician in an office is the hours. It's pretty much 8 to 5 and you're done. Money's not bad in a clinic, but you don't get that competition. You're not part of a team like you are in high school, college, or professional.
What's the worst part about each level?
Hours.
Why?
Because, think back to two-a-days. You guys had to be here, 6 o'clock in the morning? Before that? No?
Well, only some of them.
Oh, see, this is one of those schools. No. But normally the hours, when you start two-a-days, some schools, now it has changed, you're right. It's not like it used to be when us old guys were in school. But you'd come in and you'd practice from, during football two-a-days, you'd have a practice maybe from 6 to 8. Then you'd have to do all your treatments, get everything put together. Then you'd come back and have another one from 6 to 8 at night. And so those are long days. And it's still that way in colleges and professional levels. And so the hours are just unbelievable. I'm not sure what time Jackson came yesterday. I'm going to assume he probably got here about 7 in the morning.
Well, the training room opens at 6:30. So
6:30. Okay. So he's here from 6:30. He had games last night of some kind.
Yesterday we had practice.
Play work with me.
Okay, yes.
Okay. But normally on Tuesday nights you have games that go till 10, 10:30. You get home at 11, you turn right around and come back up here for 6:30 treatments. So, and that's going 6 days a week anyway. So you have very few days where you've got short. You look forward to a day where all you have is practice and you get to go home at 5:30 or 6. And so the hours are definitely the worst part.
I know that it looks like they're distracted, but she's actually supposed to be tweeting. She's on my Twitter, so. So she's not truly distracted. She's kind of tweeting what you say. So, all right. So here's where I'm gonna jump in and throw in my story. All right. So let me set the scene. I'm in college, probably a sophomore in college, as an athletic trainer student at Houston Baptist University, and so obviously I don't have a whole lot of money. And then Bob is kind of in charge of the River Oaks tennis tournament at this point, or finding an athletic trainer for it, and so they asked me to work the River Oaks tennis tournament. So this is college athletes playing a tennis tournament at the River Oaks tennis facility. And they're paying me $20 an hour. So as a college student, $20 an hour is ridiculous. So I'm like, all right, I'll do this. So it's a pretty easy gig. I just take the kit and I kind of sit there, give out some Band-Aids, tape up a couple blisters and that kind of thing. Well, what ends up happening is somehow the check got mailed to the school of Houston Baptist University when it was all said and done instead of to me, and it just never got to me. So I don't know if the school deposited it or if they just threw it away. So here I am. I worked, I don't know, probably 20 hours over 2 days or something like that. And to me, it was Bob Marley's fault. So I was mad at Bob Marley. So I thought about more than once saying, you know what, I'm going to call and tell Bob, you know, what for. I'm going to tell him that he cheated me. He owes me all this. You know, of course, I'm a 20-year-old kid. Not very smart, obviously. And so luckily I didn't do that. Luckily, I never told Bob off, because that would have been a huge mistake. Like I said a second ago, the reason that the biggest reason I got the internship with the Texans was because Bob Marley delivered that to Kevin Bastien. And then, you know, so many other times Bob's helped me out with stuff. You know, I needed a CEU event, so he said, hey, here's one coming up. Let me see if I can get you in, that kind of thing. You know, anybody in the greater Houston area is going to tell you how amazing Bob Marley is. And I almost just completely blew that opportunity because I was just a dumb, you know, 19, 20-year-old kid. But luckily, I just never had the opportunity to.
So you never got paid for working that?
No, I never.
And but, you're just now telling me, what, 20 years later?
Well, you know, as I said,
Bubba will pay you for that.
The Bubba will get it?
Yeah.
All right.
I gave you the check to Bill.
All right.
I'll guarantee HBU cashed that money.
they might have. And so I don't know whatever happened to it, but it just never got to me.
Did you ever tell me?
I think I called you.
Did you?
And you said, yeah, we sent the check to the school. And then I don't think I ever followed back up with you, or you didn't know. It's okay. Yeah. I don't need.
Well, now I feel bad.
No. see now.
It's on him, man.
Yeah. See, that was on me for not.
Statute of limitations is over, dude. You're done.
Yeah, but even at that, like, it was a. Now looking back on it, it's a great opportunity for me to learn. Hey, you know, sometimes stuff happens. Don't burn bridges. You know, I mean, people make mistakes. So, I mean,
for the rest of y'all, if you're owed money, drag him down like a dog. Get your money.
Jackson, what was it called? The thing with the Texans? And what?
He did an internship.
There you go.
Yeah, the internship with the Texans.
How long ago was this?
What?
That the money.
The tennis tournament?
Yeah,
the tournament. I'll be 32 next Sunday.
Oh, 12 years ago?
So probably about 12 years ago. So obviously I haven't forgotten it, but like, it's not that I need that $400 now. I mean, I probably didn't even need it then when I was in college because I would have just wasted it or something. But
$400, that's...
You should take it, man.
If you're a college kid, I'm pretty sure you would need it.
Well, I mean, I probably did, but I mean, I was on a full scholarship at HBU, so I didn't need like a whole lot of extra stuff.
You wanted it.
Exactly. So, I mean, it could have, you know, paid for gas for the car. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have been so cheap the rest of the time I was in college.
Oh. Now it's changed his whole career style.
Bringing up 12 years later, he's still fit.
Yes.
No, what I'm saying is I made a great decision in...
Not calling him.
I would have.
No, it's not a great decision. He should have told me.
I should have told you.
So we could have fixed it.
But what I'm saying is I was mad, and so I made a great decision, luckily made a great decision in not telling you off, because,
yeah,
I mean, ultimately...
I'm glad you didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, Bob Murray is truly not just me, but like I said, any athletic trainer in the greater Houston area, if you say Bob Murray, they know. Or if you say Needville High School, Bob Murray School. And so I'm sure you hear this all the time. You got the award at GHADS about how much you've done for everybody here in Houston. But you're definitely the reason I said this. I am the grapevine is because if somebody needs something, they're going to call you, Bob.
We've got a pretty good system in place where we can help each other out. The idea we started behind that was to try and help athletic trainers because they're really, you know, we're a really close-knit family. Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, all the trainers in the area, pro, college, everybody, we're all really, we all get along. We like each other. We all like to visit with each other. But the problem is there was no way for us to share our needs. Like if you've got an event that needs to be covered and you're overwhelmed, and that was the purpose behind it, was to try and help share that and CEU opportunities, because by the time you get it posted on a national level that we've got something here, it's gone. And so that was the idea behind all this, was to try and help keep our little family together.
So are you saying that's part of the reason for starting GHADS, or just
no.
network that you have?
Yeah, just the sending stuff out.
Yeah.
The mass emails and stuff like that. It was just to try and help keep us all together better, more informed. No, GHATS was started, and I wasn't there. I'm not that old, but I guess I am. But I wasn't there. I was at HBU when it started, but the idea behind GHATS was to start off as a social function for a social group, similar to what we're trying to do with the emails, but for the professional members. And then GHATS, the student trainer clinic that you all are familiar with, came about as a result of that, trying to help with educating the student trainers. So now that's what I think GHATS is probably most known for, is the GHATS workshop.
Right.
Because this year we had, what, 917 or something?
Yeah. It was over 1,000 registered, and then I think it was somewhere around over 9. It was definitely over 900 attend, so... 1050, so. And that was, last year was the 25th anniversary, sorry?
Yeah. 25th anniversary of the workshop, yeah.
Of the workshop. So, yeah, I think on the website it says it was founded in 1988, January, I don't know. Anyways, but, so, much distraction, I don't even know what were we talking about. What were we?
Me.
I think.
Oh, no, Leslie, sorry.
Very
I already
good.
Said that. Oh, you did, right? Okay. Is there somewhere you wish you could have worked?
I turned down an opportunity to go work as a graduate assistant at Oklahoma University. That's the one I wish I probably would have done that instead of going to Michigan State. But that's hindsight. But other than that, no, I've been very happy with what I've done. The schools I've gone to, the organizations I've worked with. That's my only regret.
Yeah. Like you said, it doesn't matter now. I can't go back. I mean, no. I guess you could go back and be a graduate assistant at OU.
Yeah, but they probably wouldn't take me. I'm not sure I qualify anymore. Things have changed so much.
I'm sure if you just threw your name out there, they'd say, oh, sure.
Yeah, right.
I think you can get enough references down here.
You wanted to work at Oklahoma
State? I wanted to be the... when you get done with school, with college, a lot of times you'll go be a graduate assistant, which is like a low-paid assistant. And I had the opportunity to go to University of Oklahoma and be their one of their graduate assistants. And instead, I went to Michigan State. And that's what that was.
So that's where you earned your master's degree. So, does that answer your question, Kaylin?
Kinda, but I'm still confused.
Okay. It's basically a cross between an assistant athletic trainer. Who asked the question?
Yeah.
Okay. Cross between the student athletic trainer and an assistant athletic trainer. It's kind of half and half. And you apply just like you do any other kind of job. You go through a screening process, interviews. They check your references, things like that. And then they say, yes, we want you to come. So you come be their graduate assistant, either for a year or two.
And you said no?
I said no. I chose a different. I went to Michigan State to do the same thing.
Oh.
Because at the time, their sports medicine program was a little bit more structured, a little more organized.
But then you said it.
But we sucked in sports.
So what was it called? What's that called? What you wanted to?
A graduate assistantship.
Oh.
Or if you put GA, anybody that's an athletic trainer knows that.
Or a coach. It's very popular in sports. You'll see a lot of GAs where somebody was a GA or a graduate assistant at different places.
Good job, Kaylin. Kaylin's trying to clarify when she's tweeting, so...
Can you tell us more about your job now as an athletic trainer?
I've got kind of a hybrid job where I spend some of my day working as a true athletic trainer, just like Jackson and Doc do here, where I evaluate injuries, take care of them, tape kids for practices, do rehab, that kind of stuff. And then some of my job is a salesman, where I go to a high school that doesn't have an athletic trainer and try and get an athlete that's hurt to come in and see my doctors or to see the people I'm associated with for treatments. I serve as a resource for schools that do have athletic trainers. They'll call and say, hey, have you ever seen this? Or could you ask the doctors how they would treat this? Or can you ask a physical therapist that that we've got in common how they would treat this? And so I serve as a resource. When you lose your hair naturally, people think you know more than you do, so they'll ask you a lot of questions and ask for help. My job is to try and find the right person with the right answer and then get it back to them. And then I teach at Houston Baptist University, and I teach two athletic training courses each semester. And I do a lot of different things, and so that keeps you're constantly learning while you're trying to keep up to date on all that stuff.
So you teach at HBU?
I still teach it. I'm an adjunct.
Ah, I didn't know that. How long have you been doing that?
Probably since you left. It's been 9 or 10 years now.
Well, yeah, that's about right. I've been a teacher for 9 years, so.
Maybe not that. 6 or 8, maybe. Yeah, it's fun. They asked me to come back and just do adjunct stuff.
Yeah.
I have a class at 6:30 in the morning if anybody wants to come. Okay, we go 6:30 to 8, and then another class from 8 to 9:30. So, anytime you want to come, just holler at me.
So it's an actual athletic training course.
One is care and prevention of athletic training injuries, and then the other course alternates between administration and management of athletic training programs, basic healthcare assessment, and medical terminology, and then the other course is an advanced evaluation of sports injuries class. So. It rotates around.
And I wish I had those courses when I was there. Because when I was at HBU, it was just the internship. And it was basically whatever I either pick up in the training room, whether I ask questions about, or, you know, anatomy or whatever, that kind of stuff. Right. So,
And care and prevention of athletic injuries, we had that. We've always had that. And so that's still there. But now, they've got, and then there's therapeutic modalities. There's therapeutic exercise. They've got a good program going, and they're trying to build it back up to where it can become accredited.
Right.
And so that's a nice close school to think about. There, HBU and U of H just announced that they've got their program on the cusp of being accredited. So you've got some good local schools to go to.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Tell us some stories about working with the Texans.
Can't really go into details on that. It's, you see a whole different side of NFL players when they're safe and comfortable in a training room. And you know what your kids are like in an athletic training room here. They come in, they're different than they are out in public. They're friendlier, they're more open, they're more relaxed. And you see the same thing with these professional athletes. They're more relaxed. You see the true side of them. They're really, every one of the guys that's been on the Texans roster the last couple of years have been really good guys, really nice guys, very friendly. A lot of times we lose sight that they're married, they have wives, they have children, they have things going on outside of football, and they're really, really good guys. I think that's probably about all I can say.
Well, they're all pretty big Texans fans, so they think we were just hoping to hear something. That's all right.
You know the old term: what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah.
What happens in your training room stays in your training room, right? Aren't you told not to go out and tell? This is something we don't tell everybody out in school.
Right, so with the Texans, you said you've traveled.
I got to travel. Yeah, can you tell us about that? It's really neat. You don't do it. They tell you where you're going to sit. You walk on the plane. They've got your name on your seat, so you know exactly where you go. You don't have to worry about where my seat is. You walk into the hotel and they've got an envelope with your itinerary, your room card, tells you when food is. You just walk down and you've got your choice of getting the food, almost any food you want made for you, but it's all there. It's great food. You know which bus you're riding to the airport, you know which bus you're riding to the stadium, because they have staggered, you don't all leave and go at the same time. Because we'll do treatments before we leave, say, New England. Before we went there, we did treatments. Then we got screened and went to the airport, got on the plane, landed, went to the hotel, checked in. And then you don't really do anything until meetings later that night. So there's some downtime. But as soon as the game is over, you shower, you pack, you get on. And within about an hour and a half after a game, they're on a plane headed back home. And so New England was a night game, and so we didn't get back here till about 5:30. And then you're expected to pick right back up just like a normal day. So at 9 o'clock they started out with treatments again. They had to lift at 1, and so it made for a long weekend.
Wow. Typically you don't, I guess, think about that. I mean, because, you know, you'll hear, they'll say, you know, all right, we'll take Monday off kind of thing, But even at that, that's just for the guys that aren't hurt or guys that don't really have anything going on. And then the coaching staff is still there.
Coaching staff's there. The weight room is open. They're still expected to come in and lift some. The difference between, say, an off day and a regular day is, they just don't have a team practice. They're still coming in. They're still having to go through film. They're looking at, they're doing their weights. A lot of them have treatments to do. And if it's a bad injury, they'll do two or three treatments a day. So it's not, they don't really get a day off. When their morning starts somewhere about 6 or 6:30 by arriving at the stadium, and then they're usually, once the season goes, they're probably going home about 5 or 6. So I mean, it's not like they're just practicing from 11 to 1. They've got stuff before, after, and during. So it's not as, we think it's all easy. You just show up, you go to practice, you go back home. It's not like that.
Right. Definitely not. All right, so I've been reading this book called Community Wins by Brian Allain. It's how to get people to follow what I'm doing here. Anyways, one of the things that it talked about is find somebody that is like a mentor to you, and then find somebody that you can mentor. And one of the things, again, you know, Bob knows everybody in this area, and everybody knows Bob. And so one of the things I put down as somebody that I would kind of like to be like is you, Bob. because I would like to be able to know and help people the way you do. Because seriously, if I need something, you know, I'm going to call Bubba or I'm going to call Bob. You know, if Bubba doesn't know, then, oh, well, I'm going to go one level up, you know.
I don't know. I call him too.
And so if, you know, here I am, I'm 9 years in the profession. What are some of the things that you think I could do to kind of build those relationships to not take your spot, but, you know, be...
No, you can have it. No, it's not like I have this... I don't have this magical spell or anything. It's just, it's, you're already doing everything. You're getting involved. You're taking every opportunity that's given to you and taking it and running with it. You're doing a hell of a job with the G-Hat stuff. I mean, bringing you on board was the best thing we ever did. I don't know whether you were just hiding under a rock or, but anyway, thank you for coming on and you've changed things dramatically. But when somebody gives you an opportunity, if you can do it, do it. If you really want to be involved in anything, whether it's athletic training, it's singing in a karaoke in a bar or whatever, do it as hard as you can. All right. Work at it. Do the best you can at everything. Don't just get complacent. And for you, just keep doing what you're doing. Get out there, you know, help people. If somebody asks it, and you do it's just in your natural makeup. Where you want to help people, and that's why you're in athletic training, and I think that's what helps promote your career. People will get out there. There's nothing you can do overnight for anybody. It's going to take hard work. It's you know, keep your head down. Don't go out. I've got some acquaintances that they sign up for stuff and then they don't really do any of the work. And then it comes time to do something again. Well, and they wonder why they didn't get asked. Well, when you're there, when you commit to something, do it the best you can. And that's what's going to propel it. And that's, you already do that, Jeremy. You've always done that. So that's, you're fine. You just got too much hair on your head yet.
Okay. So I keep shaving it. Keep shaving.
Well, yeah, but it's got to fall out naturally.
Okay.
Right, Bubba?
Bubba's working on it. Bubba's working on it. All right, Bubba, do you have any stories you want to tell or praise for Bob? I'm kind of putting you on the spot there.
No stories, nothing but praise.
Nothing but praise? You want to slide into one of the spots and... You good? Wow. Bubba is without words right now. Or at least he's deciding to hold his tongue.
I paid him.
You paid him?
Yeah.
I understand. It happened to be your HBU check. But yeah.
Probably. Right.
I feel really bad about that. I had no idea that you'd gotten shorted $400.
Again, like, I'm not upset about the $400. I promise I don't need the $400. But it was just the fact that I was able to look at it and say, I was almost a really big idiot. I was almost. I was really, really close, but I just wasn't. So
yeah,
luckily, I was too much.
You didn't embellish that amount to like 800 or 1,000.
Well, I remember how much he was supposed to get paid. I didn't know how many hours he worked. But.
Yeah, I mean, it was $20 an hour, and it's, as like I said, uncertified college athletic trainer, unlicensed. $20 an hour was a big deal. You know, I mean, I was used to working, I think that summer I'd probably worked for my dad for like $7 an hour or something, $6 an hour. So $20 an hour was huge, but it wasn't, it was the fact that I somehow didn't make a stupid move, and then that allowed me to maintain a relationship with the grapevine of sports medicine for the Houston area. So I'm not worried about the check. And plus, it was a really cool experience. Because
Zena Garrison was there that year, right? Isn't that when she ruptured her Achilles?
I don't think there was any big injuries the whole time I was there. Okay. I might have only worked Friday and Saturday, and somebody else worked Sunday or something. Okay. I don't know, but it was a really cool experience because there's in college tennis there's a lot of foreign people. So I mean, you get people like from Switzerland or German, and they're, you know, cussing or whatever when they miss a shot. And so I don't even know what they were saying, but it was just funny to hear them. They were just yelling in different languages whenever they were grunting. I didn't know people when they play tennis grunt so much. So.
Yes, they do.
All right, Daisy, we got anybody commenting on there at all? No. All right, anybody else have any more questions for Bob? No? About all of his many jobs?
Do people like your name?
Yes, they do. It's fun. One time I got, several times I've got bumped up when I fly. They move me to first class because they think they've heard the name Bob Marley. They don't realize the real Bob Marley is dead. And so,
who was it who did that yesterday?
So they'll move you up.
And then,
Karen.
Karen, she was like, well, isn't he dead? That's funny.
No, I'm still.
I'm still alive.
Yeah. And then we didn't get pizza delivered in college one time because this is before Bob Marley was actually dead, because they knew that there was no Bob Marley in Michigan that would be ordering pizza at 2 o'clock in the morning. So, but no, people remember your name when you've got a name like that. They're more apt to remember it. So it becomes very helpful.
Yeah. It's tough to forget, yeah. I guess.
It's one of those things that, and then it's funny. My kids will go to school and somebody say, oh, what's your dad's name, Bob? And they go, yes. And changes the way they get treated, too.
All right. So out of all the many things that you've done, been a part of, what's something that you think you might be most proud of? If there was a single event or situation or something like that.
Ooh, that's a good question.
All right, so while he's thinking, yeah. Lodi, you've been getting some good pictures. Yeah. Did you get some with the camera, too? You didn't bring yours this time, did you? You didn't bring your camera this time? No. You ready, Bob?
Probably the thing that... I when we did the East-West Shrine Bowl the last year it was here, it was here 3 years, and I was serving as a head athletic trainer for the East side, and... just the some of the things that we did seemed to hit home with them, and the coordinators of that kept calling back, wanting us to come do it again for them in Orlando. And I think that the fact that we did such a good job that year, I think that's probably it. And it doesn't seem like much.
East West Shrine Bowl,
right? And what it is, it's where they take the college all-stars from the East and the West, and they play them together. And these are guys that are trying to make the draft, trying to get drafted.
Right.
And so they'll play. And so you get some of the big guys. It's like the Blue, you've heard the Blue Gray Bowl?
I've heard of the Blue Gray Bowl.
Okay. Well, this is the same thing, but it's East West instead.
Gotcha.
The problem is it used to be played in Palo Alto, and then it moved over here for 3 years. And then the hurricane hit and shut down the Shriners Hospital in Galveston. And so then they, because that they're tied to that, they moved it to Florida. And even while the game, first game was going on in Florida, they're texting me saying, God, I wish you guys were here. And so I think because we did such a good job with that, I think that. Plus, the Logan Wood Award is important to me. The award from SWAT is good. This new one that's fixing to come out.
Right.
Those all make you feel good. Those give you the warm fuzzies.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, plenty of awards. Some we can't even mention yet because they're so fresh. But all right, and then I don't know what. You're laughing at me.
And then
I get distracted. Like I look around and there's so many things going on. I just get distracted. Nice one.
And then she just drags it across the floor.
I did that last time. It didn't turn out so pretty. The back of my phone was all scratched.
Yeah, I would.
I did it once, and then I did it again.
So once once is not enough.
Yeah, the second time it was on the screen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say.
Oh, wow.
See, I knew if I stalled long enough. All right, so I really just brought Bob on so he could just tell y'all how good of a job I was doing with G-Hats. That's really the only reason I asked you to come, Bob.
Oh, he's using you.
Okay, he's using you, Bob.
Yeah, that's fine. I get used all the time.
No.
Jeremy does. He does a great job for us at G-Hats.
Did you pay him?
Yeah.
He paid
did.
You, right?
He did, yes.
He paid you.
Well, he hadn't yet, but he owes me $400.
That's a funny story.
Jeremy is going to be moving up the ladder very quickly.
There's a ladder?
Yes.
There's a ladder.
How tall is it?
It's about 6 foot.
We don't want him to leave
six
here.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad.
Good luck.
Is he at least halfway there?
Oh, he's over halfway.
Oh, okay.
He's
at the top
there.
Already.
He's at the top.
Once you get to top, then everything just starts coming in, and it's just.
So he falls. Yeah. Then he falls.
No, he doesn't fall, but he stands up there, and all these awards come to him.
Is he there yet?
All this notoriety. No, I'm telling you.
All right.
He's like right there.
Couple more steps.
All right. Well, anybody else? You done, Claudia? Well, actually, let me ask you a couple more questions. You, at Needville High School, you are the athletic trainer, right?
Right.
And you said you spent about half-time, part-time there?
Yeah, it's, this is my 20, I'm finishing up my 24th year doing that, because when I left HBU, I started right up with them. And I go, I get there about 3 o'clock every afternoon, stay till we're done with practices, home events, things like that. On Tuesday, Thursday, and Fridays, and then on Monday and Wednesday, I'm there from 7 to 8 in the mornings to do treatments, evaluate things like that, and then cover all games on Saturday that are home. So, whatever that figures out to be.
Wow, that's quite a bit more. And then you're doing the HBU stuff from 6:30 to 8 or 10 or whatever it was.
6:30 to 9:30.
On Tuesday, Thursday, I guess.
Right.
Wow, I didn't know that you're. Because I knew you did so much other stuff. I didn't know you were that involved at Needville High School. So how does your student athletic trainer sports medicine program work there at Needville?
We have 13 student trainers, and we go through a selection process in the fall or in the spring where they'll have to come to 4 classes. We have tryouts. I go through. They have to learn how to tape an ankle, which y'all are experts at right by now, right?
Well, some of them.
I wish.
Okay.
Some of them.
Practice.
Help.
And we do that, and then we select out, because we have anywhere between 20 and 25 apply, and so I'm limited to 13, so we have 13 student trainers, and then they're assigned 2 sports. They have to cover 2 sports a year, and almost all of them have to do football. Some of them do volleyball, and then they're assigned to basketball, the two basketball teams, baseball. We don't have soccer, so that helps, and track.
So how come you're limited to 13?
I'm not sure. That was it. That was the number that was given to us by an athletic director many, many years ago, and we've just kind of stuck with it. And you get many more than that, and it's kind of hard to manage.
Right.
Many with just one part-time athletic trainer on staff.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, we try to keep ours somewhere close to 20, and for us that's good, but some 5A high schools with 2 athletic trainers keep like 40 or something.
Well, but they're there all day.
Right.
I'm there.
You're there after
time.
School and... Yeah. A couple mornings, so.
I keep trying to talk.
Do we have
higher.
A limit?
No, we don't have a limit. We have, if we got to a point where we need to put a limit, we could. But.
More help, the better, yes.
Yeah, usually. So, and then the more people you have, the more reason you have to let people go if they're not meeting your expectations. If we only have 4 people, it's harder to let them go. If we have 40 people, it's, all right, we got somebody else in line. We got 10 people lying behind you, so.
How many of all of you are interested in going to athletic training? 1?
I'll go do sports.
I'm sorry.
I'll go do sports.
Okay. Yeah, Claudia is a soccer player. Okay. Susie, Crystal, Lore, Daisy, and did I say Crystal?
Yeah.
I said Crystal. I met Karen. They and Priscilla were all student trainers at some point, or are student trainers. But I've only had. One student athlete that's planning to go to college to be a student athletic trainer. So
Sarah?
No.
Sarah wants to go.
Yeah, but she's not
an athlete.
She's a sophomore right now, so we'll have to wait and see.
Oh, wait.
But I've only had one person that really is in college pursuing it so far that I know of, so Jasmine Dozal.
Just kidding.
She graduated last year.
Just kidding.
So that's with this class, we don't really. Like I said, it's usually typically freshmen or an introductory class. But.
Right.
So you get to introduce them to all the different sports medicine fields.
I think that's neat. Y'all should be commended.
I commend you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, if nobody else has questions for Bob, we're going to close it out. I talked earlier about GHATS, Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, for what they do to bring the athletic trainers in the area together in the CE opportunities, passing the ISD Education Foundation. We should be receiving our Xbox grant soon, or our Xboxes from the grant soon. And again, I think without saying, I appreciate Bob and everything he does. I think I've said it several different times. I know that all these awards that have been mentioned, that everybody appreciates Bob for everything you do. So again, thank you.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
And then, Claudia, you got any words of wisdom? Kind of put you on the spot there. All right, so one of the things Bob said is work hard. Work hard. Don't make a bunch of noise. Just do what's asked of you, and then...
And think before you speak.
Think before you speak.
There you go.
All right, so if you want to contact us, our website, www.sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, live almost every Wednesday. We won't have one for the next 2 weeks because of spring break and then standardized testing. You can click on the live link, watch live, or recorded shows there. Also,
follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, or Google Plus, which is Sports Medicine Broadcast, or facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training, or the office phone, which is 713-740-0310, extension 01310.
And then, of course, there's the app for Android only if you want to listen to all the podcasts in one place and check all that out. So for Jeremy, Bob, the Sports Medicine One kids, that's a wrap.